prayed to. You know, I got this. Who wants this? You know,
ham and then the breakfast one, they would have ham and eggs in a can, and you really had to have. You had to be hungry to eat that. You had to be hungry.
I used to get, when I was parked at a fire support base, you know, and sometimes I'd be parked there for 2 or 3 hours, and a guy would bring out a sea rations or whatever. I was supposed to be eating hot. So I would just start up the helicopter and put him in the engine compartment and run the helicopter for about 10 minutes. You know, crack a little bit so it doesn't pop, and let the heat of the engine heat it up and open up the rest
smart.
Of the
thing.
You learn tricks as you go along.
Well, the other thing that how we used to heat the food, we carried around these Claymore mines. The ones that you've probably seen, the ones that say front towards enemy. Because it'd be a little bit bigger than this. And it would be a slight curve to it. And the curve, then it would say front towards enemy. And it had two little legs on there, and then you'd have run the wire, and it had a electric or piezo, like, you know, the cigarette lighters that don't have a battery, but they've got a spark.
You're doing it almost like when you're lighting a lighter, you're causing
a spark.
But this is causing a
explosion.
Electrical charge.
So it didn't take us long to realize that if you popped off the back of that Claymore mine, you could peel out the C4. So you had this big clump of C4. You roll it up in a little ball, look like putty, stick it to the bottom of the can and light it. It burned like 3,000 degrees.
Really quick.
And within in seconds, that can would be boiling.
Oh my gosh. Good way to do it. Wow.
That guy, Lloyd Stearns, that I showed you on the machine gun earlier, I was on the machine gun with him. In fact, I was on the machine gun with Lloyd, Tracy Jones, and me. And they had, I never got along good with this one particular sergeant, so he was always screwing with me. So he took me off the machine gun and he made me the ammo carrier. So we were humping that machine gun around, and that Lloyd was carrying that and carrying about 30 pounds of bullets besides, you know, 300 rounds he'd carry, 200-300 rounds all the time. And he was just beat. And we had to set up a little placement on a little hill to watch the rest of the outfit. So we set the machine gun up, and it was raining. It was one of these days where the rain just came straight down in big, just straight down, like rocks were hitting you. And so what happened is that I sat back. They didn't want the three of us together. They two guys on the machine gun, and so I moved back away from them just in case something happened, you know, and then I could cover them from the rear too. I had an M16. But I'm just sitting in the weeds, and it was raining just straight down like that, and I was a heavy smoker back then, and I reached in my helmet, the only place dry on me. I pulled down my cigarette. I lit it like this. I took one drag, gone. The water just cut that cigarette right in half, but I got the one drag off the cigarette. But then I noticed Lloyd was like sobbing. And here he said, he was so exhausted, he says, I can't walk anymore. You know, and he was just a man that's had everything beat out of him. From pumping that machine gun, we had been walking now for weeks, no going sleeping in any tent, nobody bringing us back, food given to us, dropped off or whatever, walking for weeks, and he was just beat. We were all beat, but he never wanted anybody. He said, don't worry, I got the gun. He had never wanted to let that gun go. And that particular day, he couldn't get up, and we took a cup, sea ration cup, and put coffee in the bottom of it. In the rain, we put that C4 on the bottom of that cup and lit it, and within minutes the water just filled right up from the rain, like the coffee, but it was boiling already. Mm-hmm. Come on, here, have some coffee, you'll feel better. And he drank the coffee and he actually did feel better. But he that April 7th battle, the one where I showed you the you couldn't see anything, that we were taking off, we were going into a battle, he was killed that day, going across an open area, and he had the machine gun, and he got shot right through the lungs. So, I saw a lot of things, and I promised God, get me home, and I will tell people what war is really like, because it's not what you see on TV.
Wow. What are you doing?
No, I was just gonna.
Because I had got hit in the leg with shrapnel in October. Excuse me, in November. Even before that happened to me, we had a battle on November 1st, and about seven of guys in my outfit got killed. Seven or eight got killed on November 1st. And so my platoon was away from the rest of the outfit when they got into that battle. So they brought my platoon in, and now we were going to go and try to find them. We were going to go follow them. So we started going out on a patrol, my platoon did. And we started walking out on this patrol, and we were out there for about an hour or two walking. And I broke through. I always actually liked to be in front. I felt I'd rather be in front. At the worst, every time, and one patrol I was on, I was the last guy. That was the worst ever, because I was always doing this. And then I'd turn around and I'd lose the guy in front of me. You know, because we were walking through the jungle, you know. We were sort of like single file, but still I hated that. But I'd rather be out in front.
Why?
I just felt better.
Okay.
And so on this particular thing, I'm out in front. And I break through some shrubbery, and the rest of the guys were breaking through the shrubbery. And we got into a farmer's field, like there was just mud. But it was, you know, like turned over dirt. But it was muddy. And as I'm walking along, I see the guy, the farmer, hoeing, right, with the hoe.
Yeah.
And he was, I don't know, I was going to say he's about 28 or something. Talk about it in that book. The Purple Heart guy talks about it in that book. And the guy was startled by us. If you would imagine, if you were to look up and in 15 or 20 feet from you, you see seven or eight fully armed guys, you know, walking at you, and he dropped his hoe and he started to run. And in that split second, my sergeant, because I was trying to say something to the guy, and my sergeant shot right by me. The bullet, I could hear the bullet, and killed him. Blew his brains out, right in front of me. Nearly killed me. And so, I mean, that really pissed me off for a lot of reasons. But
that guy didn't really have to die, right?
Well, let me just finish the whole story. So anyway, we go through the village then, and we can hear all the women crying and wailing and everything, but we just push on through because we're still going following which we think where these the enemy went. And so we start to go up on a hill, this hill, and if you can picture a hill that's got like rose bushes or something on it, but no, you know, that kind of a bush, kind of a scraggly bushes here, all over. So you can walk through them, but if you duck down, you can only see so far. You get the picture, you're standing up, you can see over the top of them. So what I do is, I'm walking along, and we're not walking in single file. We're walking more sort of like on a line or a curved line. The hill is going up this way here, and I'm already tired carrying all my stuff. And my lieutenant was behind me, and he was like, and I see the sort of the washout, like go to the right or go up the hill. Should I go up the hill or should I go this way? And I decide, I'm tired, I'm not gonna walk up that another 20 feet higher. And so I walk this way, the easier part. And my lieutenant goes right by me, like, get out of my way or something. I don't know where he was at, but he was in a rush. And in one way, thank God he was in a rush, because I watched him as go by 15 feet from me, I watched him get blown up. And because he was moving so quickly, he got it all in the rear, the back, you know. So I yelled out, booby traps, you know, we're in booby traps. And And then I'm trying to figure out, okay, I got to retrace my steps to try to get back up to it. But as I started to go, people that were on, that were spread out on that curve, that were, I didn't realize some were already on top of the hill on the other side. They got him, and they loaded him in the helicopter. I remember they loaded him in the helicopter naked, but you could see all the blood, you know, all the little holes in his ass and his leg, and as they were trying to get him in the helicopter.
This guy is here. The 100-year-old, whatever.
Yeah.
But he's in a wheelchair, so he can't come.
Yeah. So you guys got to go up there, right?
You guys need to go up.